Charming lost in you.
You're all I want. the blood that we're getting ready to partake in that gives us strength from day to day. It will never, never lose.
Share.
Jeremy was with us a few months ago from Belize, will be with us next week. He said, remind the members to read his book, and he would like a feedback. Last time he was here, he ran out of books, so I assume he'll be walking with some more for those who were left out the last time. As I reflect on the life of Christ, for today's sermon, SNET, there are a few individuals who took part in his trial that came to mind, who got what they wanted. They were satisfied temporarily. Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin, the leaders, priests, Pilate, King Herod, and the crowd. They all got what they wanted . Caiaphas and the priest, before they had a trial, their mind was made up, this man has to die. Sinners are running after him. And the church is not what, well, let me not use the church. Things are not what they used to be anymore. He has to go. So they had a trial. He was convicted. However, God has checks and balance in place for a reason. The Jews could condemn, but they did not have the power under Roman jurisdiction to put anyone to death, so they needed a Roman leader in order to put Jesus to death. So here they go, wake up Pilate out of his bed. I guess they have called, like here, sometimes individuals might need a judge at any time in the night. This is how our system is set up. There are some things that need a judge signature. And sometime a judge might be awoken in the morning, early morning, to get his approval. As I've seen Pastor White in the audience, we've in school, we've gotten some speeding tickets while traveling on the road. And sometimes we have to go before judges, either immediately, or we might have to come back within a month to satisfy that penalty. We have checks and balance in place for a reason. You just can't get up and do anything. And here it is. The Jews already decided before a trial that this man must die. And so they woke Pilate up. Pilate was angry. And he thought this is just going to be a quick thing. And as he examined the demeanor of Jesus, he realized that he's not dealing with just another prisoner. This prisoner is different. And as he's being pressed for a conviction, he said to the leaders of the church, what is the crime? Or what is the charge? There must be a charge. And Pilate came to the conclusion that he found no fault in him. But he did something. This is the problem with Pilate. He went beyond. He could have easily ended it. But trying to please the people, or not having a part of it, he sent him to Herod when he found out he was from Galilee, King Herod. He and King Herod are not friends. They are political rivals. But trying to make friends. When Jesus got to King Herod was a bit cold. He wanted to see a miracle. And unlike Pilate, who Jesus had a conversation with, Jesus had no conversation with King Herod. He was silent. But King Herod came to the same conclusion that he found no fault in this man. They all beat him or punished him, make a mockery of him, gave him a robe, a crown of thorns. And after they're finished with him, he sent him back to Pilate. Pilate wasn't happy. He thought King Herod would have done his job for him. But here is what Pilate did. And we saw it with the Supreme Court a few years ago, where people tried to not do their duty, and it come right back to bite them somewhere. When he came back to Pilate, Pilate said he would give the people a choice between Jesus and Barabbas, thinking the people would have gone with the innocent person. But the people shocked them. Like this nation shocked us by electing a criminal. We have not changed as a people. No matter how religious we appear, I'm not caught up too much into some exercise and even speech. We can sound moral when we want to, and yet we pick and choose what we are moral about. The Bible says we all, like sheep, have gone astray. In other words, we are not too far from Pilate. We are not too far from King Herod, compassionless. We are not too far from those leaders who are threatened by others. Sometimes I've been to churches and I've heard, "This is my church. Even the pastor is a visitor." We are not too far. And so they were all satisfied temporarily. But in the midst of all of this seeking for temporary satisfaction, my eyes go to the throne room of God. He wasn't satisfied temporarily, but he was satisfied eternally, because John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he offered up his only son." In other words, when Pilate said to Jesus, asking for him to answer him in his last interaction, "Do you not know that I have the power to send you to be crucified or free you?" Jesus said, "You have no power unless it came from above." In other words, he gave up himself freely. There are many times the crowd tried to grab Jesus and he just disappeared. But this time the crowd or the people were satisfied temporarily, because God had an eternal plan. The Bible says, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There is no forgiveness of sin." And therefore, Jesus allowed himself to be crucified. He wasn't trapped. They were satisfied temporarily. But God's eternal plan was accomplished. And so here we are. Here we are. As we reflect on how they whipped him, dragged his flesh off his bones. As we reflect on how they put crown of thorns upon his head, it caused pain. As we reflect on how they shoved that sword into his side until blood and water come gushing out, Jeremiah, it was said that, "Is there no balm in Gilead?" I'm here to tell us that there is a balm in Gilead. And it is in the blood of Jesus Christ. As Christians, sometimes we take Christ and his blood, our sacrifice, for granted. But what he did for you, what he did for us on that hill called Calvary is not in vain. We talk about the witnesses or the judges. But on the cross, we had two witnesses, like Pilate and King Herod. Pilate got a conversation going with Jesus, or Jesus got a conversation going with Pilate, because he was after Pilate's soul. King Herod was cold, and it seemed like that man could not be saved. Here on the cross, we have two thieves. One riled at Jesus, "Save yourself and us." Or "Save yourself and in the process, save us." But the honest thief, he said, "Listen, we deserve. We've been doing this all our lives. And we deserve the punishment. But this man is innocent. Father, remember me." Said to Jesus, "Remember me." And so our prayer today is, God, remember us. We deserve whatever we deserve. A friend of mine came to me the other day and he pretty much almost prayed away the blindness. And I was trying to tell him, "Listen, whatever comes, I'm satisfied." And he rebuked those words out of me, Elder. Whether it's generic or whatever comes our way. But there is coming a day when all who live for Christ and accepted Christ and have suffered for Christ will reign with Christ because of his blood that was shed. And so today, as we celebrate, this is not a funeral. Christ gave up his life willingly so that you and I can one day, I wouldn't even say walk on streets of gold, but one day live with him. It's not about the gold. It's not about traveling to out of space. I'd rather stay here. Here was built for us, but God is going to make all things new. Where he will be king and we will be at peace. Do you know you have people in this world who want to sleep and cannot sleep? My wife will tell you, I can sleep. If I get up in the morning at 4, 3 o'clock, I can easily go back to sleep at 7 o'clock if I want to. But as we reflect on Christ today, My prayer is that we will be touched. We will be healed. We will be satisfied, not temporarily, but eternally as a result of what he has done. Call the elders to join me here. Elder Collis, Diane, and Elder Mack. Elder Troy and Elder is Elder Troy with the baby? Okay. Come on up, Elder. David. As a church, we don't exist by ourselves. We exist as a result of Jesus Christ. And, you know, if we are not careful, we can just come to church and go home, and it's a religious experience. We have no connection to Christ. We have no power. And like Caiaphas and the priests in their day, they are just territorial. They're protecting their territory. But Jesus made it clear that his kingdom is not of this world. If it were, his people would fight. They would fight for votes. They would seek to disqualify the minority. They would seek to have an advantage at all times. The same evils we see in our world, we see even in the church. Because we are all flesh. But Jesus has said to his church and to this world that his kingdom is not of this world. And one day, every knee shall bow before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so as we bow before him today, as we pray before him today, my prayer is that the channel between him and us will always be open. And that our salvation will be secure. And so we pray today, Father. We want to thank you for sending Jesus Christ. Forgive us, we were in the crowd. We were caught up with emotion and we all cried, "Crucify him." We were temporarily satisfied. But I'm so glad that you had our eternal interests at heart. You forgave us. And that forgiveness, as a result of your blood. And so today, you and I can experience forgiveness. You and I can experience that eternal security. Our salvation is paid for by one whom we saw as an enemy. But we have now come to say there is no other name like Jesus. We want to thank you. So, Father, as we partake of these emblems today, we just pray that you will continue to be our God and we your people. Help us, show us how to live, how to walk, how to talk. And Father, you have given us your Holy Spirit to do all of that. And so we simply pray that you will come into our hearts and reign in us. Baptize us anew today. And each day with your Holy Spirit. Paul says, I die daily. Father, sometimes the old man have a hard time dying. Help us to die to self, to sin, so that Jesus Christ can reign in us. And may we not look at others, but may we look to Christ. May we look to Christ. We give you thanks and we give you praise in Jesus' name. This time we'll unco-